Welcome to Bhakti Sangha Japa Conference Call. So today we are very fortunate that we are having Her Grace Kirtida Sundari Mataji to enlighten us on Chaitanya Charitamrita. So thank you so much, Mataji, for giving your valuable association and time to all of us. Now I would like to hand over the call to you, Mataji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much, Pavitra Madhuri Mataji, for warmly welcoming everybody. And thank you everyone who joined us today in this mid-morning session. So we'll start with Chaitanya Charitamrita. But before that, I just want that please shower your blessings and prayers onto me so that I may speak something relevant to the topic. And of course, for the purification of myself and in glorification of Chaitanya Charitamrita and of course Sanatana Goswami and Mahaprabhu. So let's start. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Reading from Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela, Chapter 22, entitled The Process of Devotional Service. And today we'll cover text 145, 146 and 147. So we'll see how the time allows, and accordingly we can do text 147, otherwise we'll leave it for tomorrow's speaker. Text 145. Jnana Vairagya Adi Bhakti Rakkabhu Nahi Anga Ahimsa Yama Niyama Adi Bhule Krishna Bhakta Sangha. The path of speculative knowledge and renunciation is not essential for devotional service. Indeed, good qualities such as non-violence and control of the mind and senses automatically accompany a devotee of Lord Krishna. Text 146. Tasman mad bhakti yuktasya yogino vai mad atmanah na jnanam na cha vairagyam praya shreyo bhaved iha. For one who is fully engaged in my devotional service, whose mind is fixed on me in bhakti yoga, the path of speculative knowledge and drag renunciation is not very beneficial. Text 147. Eta nahi adbhuta vyadha tava ahimsadhyo gunah hari bhaktau pravartiye nate shihu paraktapinah. O hunter, good qualities like non-violence, which you have developed, are not very astonishing. For those who are engaged in the Lord's devotional service are never inclined to give pain to others because of envy. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalaka Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guru Venama Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namini Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschata Deshatarini Vancha Kalpatarubhascha Kripa Sindhuva Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namo. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So taking permission from all of you, we'll just try to see what Sanatana Goswami, what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is instructing Srila Sanatana Goswami Pad on the process of devotional service. So we have almost covered the whole chapter, only few verses are left. But in these verses, what he is instructing, we'll see now. So first, actually, we started with one text 145, 146, and 147. So first, we'll see verse number 146. So this 146 verse, where the translation says that for one who is fully engaged in my devotional service, whose mind is fixed on me in bhakti yoga, the path of speculative knowledge and dry renunciation are not very beneficial. So this text was basically spoken by Lord Sri Krishna when he was speaking to Uddhava before he departed to spiritual world from this material world, right? So Prabhupada, in his purport, he made some important instructions, and those instructions were given by Krishna to Uddhava. So what are they? First, we'll see that, right? So Krishna gave him the instructions to Uddhava. He gave the instructions of two basically instructions he gave regarding the Pravritti Marg and Nivritti Marg. So we'll first try to understand that what are these? What is Pravritti Marg and what is Nivritti Marg? So according to the Vedic instructions, there are two paths for human activities. One is called Pravritti Marg and the other is called Nivritti Marg. So Pravritti Marg is basically is the sense enjoyment. Okay. And Nivritti Marg means the spiritual enjoyment. That's the, you know, basic underlying meaning. But basically what it is, right? So Pravritti Marg means that one can enjoy this material world with their senses, right? But in Nivritti Marg, it is totally different. You just have to curtail your senses from the sense object and follow the path of spiritual realization. So in the life of animals and demons, there is no question of Nivritti Marg, right? And Prabhupada makes up this point that even the actual conception of Pravritti Marg is also not present in animals and people of demoniac nature. How? Because Pravritti Marg maintains that even though one has the propensity for sense gratification and he can gratify, that person can gratify the senses, but only according to the directions of the Vedic injunctions. So animals and people who are of demoniac character cannot gratify their senses according to the Vedic civilization or Vedic injunctions. So that is why, though Pravritti Marg means that sense enjoyment, but still people of demoniac mentality cannot follow even the Pravritti Marg. Example, you know, we can just see that, for example, the propensity to enjoy sex life. So in demonic civilization, you know, one can enjoy sex without any restriction. But according to the Vedic culture, the sex is enjoyed under the Vedic instructions. Thus, the Vedas, they give a proper direction to the human beings how, when they have to perform and how they can satisfy their propensities for such kind of sense gratification. But in the Nivritti Marg, altogether, you know, it's altogether different because sex there is completely forbidden, right? We know the social orders like Brahmacharya, Grastha, Vanaprastha and Sannyasa. So Brahmacharya, Vanaprastha and Sannyasa, one cannot have sex enjoyment in these three orders. Though householders are allowed, it is accepted according to the Vedic instructions that householders can indulge. But again, you know, there are many rules and regulations laid down to it, when and how to do it. So that was just an example I was giving. So this is what is Pravritti Marg and Nivritti Marg. So, you know, this I want to cover up this topic since it was mentioned in the purport of Srila Prabhupada in this text. Right. Now we started with text number 45. And 45 text number, it speaks about the path of devotional service. What does it say? Translation says the path of speculative knowledge and renunciation is not at all essential for devotional service. Right. Jnana Vairagya Adi Bhaktira Kabhu Nahi Anga Ahimsa Yama Niyama Adi Bule Krishna Bhakta Sangha. So Jnana and Vairagya. So what is this Jnana and Vairagya? Jnana refers to knowledge and Vairagya refers to renunciation, or we can say detachment. Now, there are some aspects to it that we have to understand. Here, Vairagya, that Sanatana Goswami, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is referring to, is not the Vairagya of, that means the false renunciation. Here, Vairagya doesn't mean the false renunciation. As Rupa Goswami Pad in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he says, प्रापंचिकात्य बुद्ध्या हरि संबंधी वस्तुनाह मुमक्षी भी परित्यागो वैराग्यम फल्गु कथ्यते. Means those who are not in Krishna consciousness, they artificially try to renounce something. You know, they artificially, you know, they don't have an heart of renouncing anything, the material object, but they artificially try to renounce the material object, those who are not in Krishna consciousness. It is not that they don't want it, but you know, you just dig them a little and all their desires will get manifested, right? So the Vairagya that they follow, that Rupa Goswami Pad is saying, it's a Falgu Vairagya, it's a false renunciation. But here, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he is saying Jnana Vairagya Adi, so he is not referring to that false renunciation. He is referring to the renunciation or detachment that devotees try to practice, that a sadhika try to practice while in their devotional path, while on their spiritual path. So Prabhupada, in both the verses, text 145 and 146, he mentions that both Jnana and Vairagya, they both are certainly important. But the consideration point is that they are not the prerequisites for devotional service. They are important, but they are not the prerequisites for devotional service. This certainly boosts, you know, our chances of realizing God. This Jnana and Vairagya certainly boosts our chances of realizing God. Because for one who is in a spiritual life, the acquisition of knowledge and the practice of renunciation, both are good. How? We'll see. Because it's only after acquiring the proper knowledge then one can understand one's constitutional position of the soul in this world, right? And then only it will be easier for that person to get detached from the things. Because one understands that what is the value of a soul? It's just a minute part and parcel. And one gets this knowledge that what is its constitutional position, which is to be the eternal servant of Krishna, right? So, this comes only from knowledge. And when one is in this knowledge, then it becomes easier to get detached from the things and to progress in spiritual life. So, Jnana and Vairagya are important. This certainly boosts our chances of realizing God. And they also certainly, they do make it easier for one to come on the platform of bhakti. Right. But in spite of all this, in spite of their importance, we have to understand what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is instructing, that he is saying that though they are important, but still the devotion to God is not at all dependent on them. The devotional service is totally a different aspect. It doesn't depend on jnana and vairagya, though both of them are important and facilitate, but they are not the prerequisite of devotional service. Pure love for God, that is Krishna prema, which is the highest transcendental achievement, it is not depending on anything. But yes, it do depend. It depends on what? It depends upon the sentiment that is coming from a devotee. So what is pure devotional service? It depends on the sentiment by which a person performs that devotional service. The intention behind a person's heart, the intention behind a devotee's heart determines one's pure devotional service. So it's said that once we start doing that devotional service and become a devotee of the Lord, then automatically one acquires all the required knowledge that is needed, and of course the detachment comes without separately endeavoring for it. Like in verse number 145, he says, Ahimsa Yama Niyama Adi Bule Krishna Bhakta Sangha. That means all the good qualities, that is non-violence, the control of the mind, the senses, they automatically accompany a devotee of Lord Krishna when that devotee performs a pure devotional service. Right. So even in Nectar of Devotion, Srila Prabhupada says, he states, I'm not paraphrasing, I'm just, reading out, what he states, that cultivation of knowledge or renunciation, they both are favorable in Krishna consciousness and may be accepted in the beginning stage of life. But ultimately, they are also rejected because devotional service is dependent on nothing other than the sentiment or the desire for such service. That's what Srila Prabhupada says in his Nectar of Devotion. So, now we understood that that devotional service does not depend upon anything except the intention behind doing that service. Now, what is this devotion? What is this bhakti and how to perform it? So, devotion basically is a sincere desire to selflessly serve Krishna only and only for His pleasure. There is no other hidden motive to it. I'll repeat, devotion is a sincere desire to selflessly serve Krishna only and only for His pleasure. Right? And Srila Prabhupada, he always translates devotion. Wherever in, there are lot many verses in Bhagavad Gita that come with the words bhakti or bhaktya. Right? So, but Srila Prabhupada, everywhere he translates not only just devotion, but he translates it as devotional service. So, we come across many people, and when we say, I love God, I love God. But when you tell them, come to the temple, then what to talk about every day, even coming once to the temple, once in a week, is challenge for them. They have lot many excuses, but they will say, oh, I love God. What way you love God? You tell them, chant the holy name, chant the Maha Mantra, this is the Yoga Dharma, this is the only process, and what will they say? Oh, I always chant in my mind. Where Arjuna is saying that it's so difficult to control the mind, and he says that, oh Krishna, I can control the wind, but I cannot control the mind. But these people, they just say, oh, I always chant in my mind. I'm always absorbed in Krishna's name, But that is not the point, right? Like an example, you can say, oh, your child is there. You know, you simply go and meditate. Don't serve your child. If your child is crying for hunger, just keep on meditating. Oh, my child is in hunger. You know, he's starving and, you know, okay, I'll just feed him. And, you know, just in your mind, keep on saying that. But will it help? Will the child stop crying? If the child is in his nature's call and you just keep thinking, oh, I've changed his diaper and, you know, but you don't do it with your hands, then what will happen? Will the child be satisfied? No, not at all. So similarly, Srila Prabhupada said that bhakti is not just sentiment in our heart that we develop and we say, oh, I love Krishna, but it is an expression of those sentiments that we perform in service. How? Through our limbs, through our senses. That is what bhakti is. And that's why he says it is bhakti is devotional service. When you do that service with your limbs, with your senses, with your hands, with your legs, so and so forth. Example of Maharaj Ambarish. He used all his senses and limbs in service of Krishna. That is what devotional service is. Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Ruchyate. A beautiful definition of Uttama Bhakti. What it is? Rishikesha. Rishi means senses. And Isha means master. So Krishna, he is the proprietor of the senses. He is the master of our senses. He is the proprietor of this whole body. So when this body will be utilized in Krishna's service, then what is called is the perfection of life. But if we do this devotional service with improper intention, then also it doesn't hold any value. So the intention is must. First of all, we have to do that service with our senses and limbs. And secondly, the proper intention, the proper desire, the, you know, that proper sentiment is needed while doing that devotional service. Now, you know, one devotee can get a chance to lead a kirtan, you know, on Janmashtami Day in front of 5,000 people, you know. He is doing that service. He is doing that devotional service. But in his heart, he is thinking, oh, wow. You know, so many people are there and such an auspicious day. And I got this chance to lead this kirtan and I'll do it. So that all people, you know, all those who are present, all those people who are present, they must, you know, glorify me. Now, where is Krishna there? Krishna is not there. We are in the center. That people should glorify my kirtan. I am getting puffed up that I got this chance to sing on Janmashtami Day in front of 5,000 people. I got this chance to cook on Sunday feast on such an auspicious day and I cooking 56 items for Krishna I'm cooking. But in the heart, I'm thinking, oh, when people will taste, when devotees will taste this prasadam, they'll say, oh, who has cooked such a large and sumptuous prasadam? Who has cooked? Where is Krishna in the center? Though we are performing that service, but the intention is that I should be glorified. Rather, we are thinking of Krishna. There is nowhere in Krishna. When we make beautiful garlands, we may, you know, finely cut petals and make it in a very synchronized manner and make beautiful garland for Krishna. Only and only so that people, so that devotee who comes to the temple can say, wow, what a beautiful garland. Now, where is Krishna? There is nowhere. Krishna is nowhere. Though it is earth service, it is devotional service, but we are doing it for Krishna. But the intention behind is nowhere Krishna. I should be in the center. People should praise me. People should say, wow, wonderful dressing, wonderful garland, seva. You know, that is the intention. If that is the intention, then this is not at all a devotional service. We have to understand that these flowers, the garland that we have made, these flowers come from Krishna. The ability to make these beautiful garland also comes from Krishna. And what to talk about? Even the intelligence to coordinate all those flower petals in a particular wonderful pattern, that also comes from Krishna. Where are we? everything is coming from Krishna, but still we say, oh, I did it. I am the one who did this. You know, so that mentality, that intention should be avoided. We have to think that we are just an instrument in His service. We are nimitta matram, and we should be grateful that we have been given that opportunity to serve Him. You know, just like how we do tarpan of Ganga, whenever we go to Mother Ganga, what we do? We take the Ganga water and offer it back to Mother Ganga. That's how we worship Ganga. Similarly, we have to understand that everything comes from Krishna. The raw material, the ingredients come from Krishna, the ability comes from Krishna, the intelligence comes to Krishna. Everything comes from Krishna. So we are taking everything from Krishna and offering it back to Krishna. And with an intention, oh Krishna, thank you for engaging me in this service. I'm really grateful to you, right? That should be the mood. That should be the intention. So, oh Krishna, I'm really thankful to you. Please accept my service, right? If that is the mood, that is what devotional service is. Otherwise, it's just a show. Now, in Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna says, right? Bhaktya mam abhijananti yavan yas tasmi tatvata tato mam tatvato gyatva vishate tad antaratmanam. What he says, that one who understands me, Krishna is saying, one who understands me as I am, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, only by devotional service. And when one is in full consciousness of me by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. So that's the benediction that Krishna is giving, that once you know that I am everything and you know me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then I'll give you the entrance in my personal abode. Right. So, also, I was thinking of quoting one beautiful text. You know, let me open. It's from Canto 7. And it's from Canto 7, Srimad Bhagavatam, where Prahlad Maharaj says, what he says, Manne dhana abhijan rupa tapa shritaschauja teja prabhava bala paurusha buddhi yoga. Na aradhanaya hi bhavanti parasha pumso bhaktya pitosha bhagavan gaja yuthapaya. What he says? He's saying manya. Manya means I consider. That Prahlad Maharaj is saying. What he's saying? Dhana. Dhana means riches, the wealth. Abhijana. Abhijana means your family members, your near and dear ones. Rupa, beauty. Tapa, austerity. Shruta means knowledge that we acquire while studying the scriptures. And then oja. Oja means sensory prowess. Then teja means bodily effulgence. Then prabhava. Prabhava means when you try to influence others. Bala, strength. Paurusha. Paurusha means diligence. And then buddhi. Buddhi again, it comes intelligence. And then yoga. Yoga means mystic power. So these 11, any one of these or all together these 11, na aradhanaya, na aradhanaya, they are not at all satisfying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Na aradhanaya bhavanti purusha pumso. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is not at all satisfied with all these 11 put together. Even all these 11, when they are put together, still it doesn't satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then what satisfied Him? Bhaktya Titosha Bhagavan. What satisfied Him? It's only devotional service. Bhaktya. And Prabhupada says, it's simply by devotional service that Supreme Personality of Godhead is satisfied. But what kind of devotional service? Gaja Yutha Paya. The same that the king of elephants, Gajendra, had. You know, he doesn't have all these qualities. But what he had is the pure intention, the pure sentiment, the sincerity in the heart that pleased Krishna, that he just came running to protect him. Even Rupa Goswami in his Padyavali, you know, he says that if someone has bhakti, then nothing else is needed. You know, if we think that age matters, then we know the Praman. What is the Praman? Where is Dhruva? Dhruva Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj. Does the age matter? How old they were when they got pure devotion of Lord? So their maturity also doesn't matter. Now, if we think about that knowledge matters, you know, that we have to really get all kind of academic knowledge, or we have to be well-versed in all the scriptures, we have to be, you know, degrees of double doctorate, single doctorate, does it matter? No. Praman is that where was Gajendra's knowledge? Was Gajendra, who was he? He was an elephant. And it always says that it is, you know, as dull as an elephant. Right? So where was Gajendra's knowledge? If we think that beauty matters in devotional service, then what beauty Kubja had? If we think wealth matters, then where was Sudama's wealth? Right? He was so poverty stricken. If we think that noble birth matters, that one has to be born as a Brahmana, then what noble birth Vidura had? Nothing. So devotional service is not dependent on all this. Devotional service is independent. The only thing it depends is one's intention. Lord Krishna or Madhava is not at all impressed by one's talent. Don't ever think that we can show Krishna our talent. No. We can fool people around in this material world by showing our talent, by showing our mystic potencies, but not to Lord Krishna. He is supremely talented. He is pleased only by the sincerity in doing devotional service and not by any material qualification. So intention in discharging service is what Krishna is looking for, nothing else. Rest, everything is just, you know, a show. So we do have a couple of minutes. So we'll do text number 147 also, which is in continuation with the topic that we read. So here, the verses, translation goes, O hunter, good qualities like non-violence, which you have developed, are not very astonishing, for those who are engaged in Lord's devotional service are never inclined to give pain to others because of envy. And Prabhupada says that this is a quotation from Skanda Puran, and it was spoken by Narada Muni to the reformed hunter Mrigari. So I'll not go in detail of the story of Mrigari, but we all know that he was a hunter. His name was Mrigari. And what does the meaning of Mrigari mean? He is the enemy of animals. So he used to hunt the animals, and he used to let them half die. He doesn't make them fully die, but, you know, the animals are half dead. So one, you know the story that how Narada Muni came, and then he told that what heinous act you are doing. You are going to suffer more while doing this act. But Mrigari says, hey, I have been learning all this all my life through my parents, through my father. I cannot leave this. And what is the harm in killing all the animals half dead? You know, there is no harm. But, you know, Narada Muni says, hey, you are going to suffer a lot. You know, this is the biggest sin you are committing. At least, if not, you cannot follow a righteous path, at least you can just do one thing for me, that at least kill them fully. If you are hunting them, just fully kill them. Don't let them, you know, starve for those breath. Don't half kill them. Just kill them fully. And then Mrigari said, okay, I can follow. And then Narada Muni started, you know, instructing that how by killing all these animals, we just forget this mercy aspect and we suffer in hell and there are so many sinful reactions to it. And, you know, in length, he preached to Mrigari. And finally, Mrigari said, okay, what you want from me? What should I do? How will I live my livelihood if I'm not going to kill or hunt these animals? then Narada Muni said, oh yes, I can arrange for them. You please don't worry. If you are really, you know, interested, then please listen to me and follow what my instructions are and don't worry about your livelihood. So he says that you just go home, vacate all the, you know, that home or whatever cottage you have, just vacate it, leave it, bring your wife, and with your wife, just build a small hut and just, you know, give out all the possessions also, he said. Whatever wealth possessions you have collected, just distribute it, you know, become basically penniless and bring your wife and build a nice hut near the bank of River Ganga. And then, you know, you can plant a nice tulsi plant. You can worship Tulsi Devi every day, try to circumambulate it. And then he initiated him by giving this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And then he instructed Mrigari that you should chant this Maha Mantra. And then your life will be easy. And then, you know, you'll not incur any sinful reactions. But instead, you will also be fed. I'll make sure that you have been provided enough grain so that you and your wife are nicely fed. So he followed the instructions of Narada Muni. And, you know, this news fell. It started flowing everywhere that, oh, Mrigari has become a devotee and he has left this business of killing the animals. And the people were coming to see. You know, now he has become saintly. So whenever we try to visit or see some saintly person, you know, we try to take some grain, some fruits as an aspect of showing love or respect. So they used to bring, and that way Mrigari used to nicely, you know, he can live on his livelihood, and his wife was okay. So once, Narada Muni, when he went away, and then, you know, once he told Parvata Muni that, oh, this is how Mrigari got changed, so let's go and visit him again. So they both were coming, and Mrigari got this news that his spiritual master is coming, so he just went. And, you know, it said that when he was going, he was quite attentive that he doesn't step even on an ant. So he was just running, you know, hopping, kind of he was going, and when he reached, he wants to pay dandavats, he wants to pay his obeisances to Narada Muni. And, you know, first he actually wiped that area with his cloth so that no ants come while he's paying dandavats. So seeing that, you know, even Parvata Muni, Narada Muni, they all got impressed. And that's what, you know, this word comes up, and Narada Muni says that, oh hunter, all these good qualities that you have possessed, like that of non-violence, you know, they are not very astonishing. I'm not very astonished to see this nature. Why? Because these are the side effects of devotional service. When a person is 100% engaged in Lord's devotional service, then he is away from all anarthas, and all these good qualities, they automatically gets into the devotee. So the devotee doesn't have to do a separate endeavor. You know, this reminds me of a beautiful verse also. In Canto 5, there is a verse, Yasyati Bhaktir Bhagavati Akinchana Sarver Guna Tatra Samasta Sura. That one, when one performs a devotional service, for whom? Akinchana Bhakti, for the Lord. Then what happens? Sarve Guna, then all good qualities. Sarve Guna Samasta Sura. Then all good qualities automatically get manifest in the devotee's heart. The devotee doesn't have to do a special endeavor to acquire it. It automatically flows all the good qualities. Right. So that's what I just want to say. I'll stop here, and we cover till 147, and from next verse onwards there is altogether the separate topic of Raganuga Bhakti. Remember, here what we were talking is all Vaidhi Bhakti, right? But now altogether the next topic of Raganuga Bhakti will be explained by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Srila Sanatan Goswami. So we'll stop here. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Mataji, Mataji. Thank you so much, Mataji. It was such a, you're such a good teacher, first of all. These concepts, you know, we may hear it 100 times, but when someone speaks it with so much conviction, it really hits you hard. So that's the feeling I get. And it's so true when you were talking about intentions, and that is all actually, you know, bhakti, you know, Krishna only sees the heart, and about the concept of how intentions mean everything. So beautiful, such a wonderful class, and it really, I don't know how to put it in words, but it's very transformative. Thank you. Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Preeti Vilasi. Mataji, you always encourage me, always.
It's not about encouraging, Mataji. It's so, I don't know, you feel so good, you feel so happy, and I don't know how to say this. But
yes, that's true. You know, that's true. Even if I'm sick, but when it comes to talk about Krishna, giving class about Krishna, you know, somehow I always feel happy. Somehow that energy comes in. I don't know how. But yeah, that's true. That I do agree to it. But again, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. And the energy is really infectious. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Dana Pranam, Mataji. And your lotus feet, Mataji. It's really, really, Mataji. Lakshmi Mataji is telling the grace for the pure devotional service is really we can get from your lecture. And it's very clear, Mataji, for exactly how we can develop that pure devotional service. You clear very nicely all the concepts, Mataji. Thank you so much, Mataji. You have a lot of blessing of your Guru Maharaj, I think. So much. Thank you so much, Mataji, for coming and giving your assistance to us, Mataji.
Thank you so much, Antarangopika, Mataji. Yes, that's very true. But what I am is made up of my mercy of my Guru Maharaj. Otherwise, I'm just a slug, nothing else.
And also, Mataji, sorry, Mataji, also, when I hear Maharaj, Bhakti Sarin, he explains such a simple way and very nicely, slowly he taught everything, all the concepts, and he can, I mean, clear out. It's the same quality you are developing, Mataji. So nicely you are convincing the people to get in Bhakti, Mataji. Please, please pray for us, Mataji. Can develop some quality from you.
Thank you, Mataji. Your glory is to Guru Maharaj.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Dandavat Pranam. Glory to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Very beautiful class, Mataji. I was just contemplating how much of effort and how much of research you would have done to get that information and present it in the class. And with so much of conviction, the way you do it, it's so inspirational for all of us. Last class also that you had taken, I think it was on anger. That was also very nice, Mataji. And this class again. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Mataji. It's all because Preeti Vilasi Mataji gives me ample amount of time to prepare. So I get a chance. But thank you so much.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dandavat Pranams, all glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Mataji, your class has been really inspiring me a lot. Even today's class, it really helped me a lot. But I just have one doubt, Mataji. Can I ask, Mataji?
Go ahead, Mataji.
I just want to know.
This is Arundhati?
Yes, Mataji, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Yes, go ahead, Mataji.
Mataji, what is the true meaning of speculative knowledge and mystic yoga, Mataji? Can you please explain me?
Mataji, like speculative knowledge that, Prabhupada always translates as those which jnana yogis have, you know, they speculate that, oh, we are made up of, that we have five, we are made up of that five gross elements, earth, water, air, fire, ether, and then three subtle elements, what we say, mind, intelligence, and false ego. Then we have five jnana indriyas and karma indriyas, you know, and that way they reach to the point that, oh, all these cannot work all alone, right? So there must be some spark inside our heart. So they reach to the point of soul, and then they say, oh, even the soul alone cannot do anything. And so they come on to the concept of super soul. And then, you know, this is how they speculate, right? Which is also known as a Sankhya Yoga, that Lord Kapila, you know, he instructed his mother Devahuti, which is okay. But some Jnana Yogis, they speculate in a different way. That's what not is being mentioned here. But Jnana Yogis, what they think that, oh, this material world is useless and all these material objects are useless. So let me renounce everything. Let me renounce and let me go back and let me just try to meditate on the Supreme. That means only on the Brahman. Definitely they don't have any personal realization of the Lord, but they are impersonal. So they just want to meditate on that light, on that Brahma Jyoti. But Rupa Goswami Pad says that even the devotees, they don't speculate such kind of knowledge. They basically use everything in Krishna's service. That is what is Yukta Vairagya, right? And that is what the renunciation is. And this is what the speculative knowledge is. And renunciation, I've already, you know, explained that how people do have that false renunciation. Some yogis do have, oh, let me go to the Himalayas and try to meditate on the Supreme Brahman, and, you know, I'll just reject, renounce everything. I'll renounce my material life. Sometimes they renounce because they don't want to take up the burden of a grihastha life. That is not recommended by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never says that you have to renounce your grihastha life thinking that you cannot bear the burden of grihastha life. That is not the actual vairagya. That is not the actual renunciation. Because if you leave that thing only because thinking that that could be a burden, then someday, you know, something will come from your heart. And then again, you will aspire for all those things. So that renunciation is falgu renunciation. It's a false renunciation. And that's not what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or Srila Prabhupada is teaching us. Rather, they are teaching that you have to be renunciate. Means that you have to be detached. Though you have your house, though you have your family members, though you have your wealth, but use it everything in Krishna's service. You can use everything in Krishna's service. Don't renounce everything, but don't get attached to them. The detachment should be there. That tomorrow, if I lose my family member, it's not that my whole life is dependent, because ultimately my life is dependent on Krishna. If tomorrow I'm going to lose my wealth, it's not that my life was dependent on that wealth. You know, if health is good, wealth can come again, but my devotion should not be lost. That is what, you know, the real meaning of renunciation or renouncing the things is. You got it, Mataji?
Thank you very much, Mataji. So the more we have to focus on is the devotional service to Krishna. That's what...
Exactly. Devotional service, and use everything in devotion. You know, if somebody comes to Srila Prabhupada and says, oh, take $1 million, and Prabhupada says, of course, why not? Others may think, what type of sannyasi he is? He is so much attached to money. But Prabhupada says, oh, of course I want this money because I want to use it for Krishna's service. Right? So there is no harm in taking all the material objects or acquiring these material objects. But again, the thing comes boils down to the point, intention. What will you do after getting that material object? Will you use it for your son's gratification or will you use for Krishna's gratification? If it is for Krishna's gratification, that is Yukta Vairagya. Yes, go ahead and use it and acquire it. But if it is for our own senses, for our own pleasure, then better to renounce it. Otherwise, it will lead to attachment.
Thank you very much, Mataji. A very beautiful explanation. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Mataji, please accept my dhanyavad pranam. Mataji, it was so nice class. I like especially two points in this class. Why we should do bhakti? It is really very convincing, Mataji, that you told that it is for the pleasure of Krishna. And whatever examples you have given, that whatever opulences we have, like wealth, beauty, riches, good qualifications, doesn't matter. Only bhakti matters. It is really super, Mataji. And the whole class is like convincing a person into real bhakti. Thank you, Mataji, for this class. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Supriya Mataji, for your sincerity and attentive listening. Thank you.
Thank you, Krishnasundari Mataji. Very nice, wonderful class. I miss him because I had to use the bathroom, so I'm so sorry. I will hear the recording again. Thank you, Hare Krishna, very much.
Yeah, thank you so much, Kamodika Mataji. That's perfectly okay. Your presence is your blessing, right?
Everybody's blessings. I need everybody's blessings because you all do so much service and you have so much knowledge, you have so much devotion. Very wonderful. So I'm very happy and I'm glad that I am getting at least association of you, all of you. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your association. Thank you for your association, Mataji. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna. Very nice.
Anyone else have any question, any comment, any addition? Okay. Thank you all so much for joining. Thank you so much for patiently listening.
Thank you. Thank you, Kesira Pandari Mataji.
Thank you for coming and giving us a wonderful day to start with. Thank you, Mataji. We'll end the call. Vancha Kalpataru Vesha Krapakandu
Vesha Vesha Patitanam
Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Narasya Koti Vaishnavrandaki Jai Shana Prabhu Pani Jai Shri Shri Chaitanya Chari Samrata Ki Jai Shri Man Mahaprabhu Ki Jai. Her grace Kirtida Sundari Mataji Ki Jai.
Gaur Bhaktavinda Ki Jai.
Please give more association. Come more often. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Mataji.